May it please Almighty God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in His holy word. Let us turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, and we'll read verses 9 and 10. The book of the Revelation, chapter 7, and reading verses 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Well, the book of the Revelation is called Revelation because it was a revelation to the Apostle John when he was on the Isle of Patmos, when he was an old man. And we should be thankful that we do have this revelation of things to come. And yet there are so many, many things which are spoken of in this book which are really very difficult to understand, and many people have endeavoured to interpret them and come to conclusions which have often proved to be erroneous. So we do not intend to try and produce any wonderful prophecy today, but there are some parts of this book which are clear and which are very relevant and which are important. And what it does do, it does give us a little glimpse in some places of the condition and situation which will exist in glory in heaven at last. And surely as we are journeying on through time on this earth, it's good to be able to look beyond this earth and beyond our little life to those things which are to come. Because we must all realise that without any doubt, all of us possess a soul which shall never die. And the truth is that all of us will therefore spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. And really, how little justification we give to considering these great important facts. How easy it is to live our life on this earth as though our life on this earth was eternal, whereas of course in fact it is infinitesimally small in comparison with eternity. And whereas we know that our life on this earth will end, our life in eternity will never end. And so how very, very important, how very, very relevant it is for us to consider the eternal state and the eternal conditions that there will be indeed for us. And we pray earnestly that it may be well with our souls. That is really the vital thing. How keen we are about our bodies, aren't we? We're also concerned about being healthy in our bodies. Nothing wrong with that. But people go to great ends, don't they, to try and make their bodies last a bit longer, to keep their body a bit more healthy, so that a few more years will be added to them. And yet you see, in reality, if we compare that with eternity, it really has no relevance, because it is so, so infinitesimally small. And yet you see, the devil doesn't want us to think about eternal realities. He wants us to concentrate on the things of time, those things which perish with the using. And he is very successful, because if we analyse our lives, we find that a large proportion is spent on time things. A large proportion is spent on things which do not really matter. And yet, you see, he would have us again and again turn away from the things of God to the things of time, rather than turn to the things of eternity. Well, we need to be reminded constantly of the shortness of our life, and for eternity which stretches before us. And you see, none of us know really, you know, how soon these things will come. We've had this COVID virus upon us, haven't we? And it struck down very, very many people, very, very many people throughout the world. Some slowly, but some really very suddenly. And they've never been able to therefore formulate any plans as such. I'm sure some of you are mindful of the florist that we had in Reigate, well, and Redhill, who was struck down very, very suddenly with this virus, and he carted off for hospital, and of course he was so ill, and because of the situation he wasn't allowed to see anybody apart from his wife, who was called in on three occasions to say goodbye to him, and he had no time therefore to plan anything. He was a worldly man, and because his office was quite near, or his shop was quite near to our office, often used to pass by, and he would often stop and say a few words. And I remember asking him earlier last year, when do you intend to retire? And he said, well, I'm 67, and we're trying to sell the business, and then I shall retire. Well, what I knew after that was, well, they hadn't sold the business, but they did intend to retire, and they bought a retirement house. And it was only just a few weeks after that that he came into this situation and literally collapsed with this virus. No time to do anything, no time to say anything. And there he was, very soon in eternity. So none of us should try and think, well, I can plan my life, and I think I'll do this, and I think I'll do that. None of us know how soon in our lives that statement shall come and time shall be no more. Well, it would be a great blessing if, by the grace of God, we are looking forward to our eternal home, to our, we can say, our eternal inheritance. Because it's not something that you and I can earn, as I often tell you. It's not something that we deserve. It's something that we receive through the wonderful and gracious gift of God. And yet how important it is that each one of us are the recipients. We have received the evidence that we are amongst the children of God. Well, in this verse, these two verses here, we read together, John said he beheld a great multitude which no man could number. No man could number. In the chapter that we read together, there was that statement about the angels. There were 10,000 times 10,000. Well, if you youngsters are able to do a little mathematical sum, you will notice that that comes to 10 million and more than that. So there were 10 million angels around the throne. And then, of course, there was the great multitude then of the living church of God. And that's why it's specified like this: a great multitude which no man could number. So many people saved by the grace of God. So many people, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Yes, from every part of the world, all colours, all tongues. It's amazing, isn't it? Will all be found before the throne and before the Lamb. Now this is the blessing. Clothed with white robes. What does that mean? It means they will be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Not anything that they've brought upon themselves, but that which has been given to them. And every one of us here today needs to have the evidence that we are clothed with that righteousness of Christ. And it's not an irrelevant consideration, because all of us will have to stand before that great white throne on that great judgment day. None of us will be excused. No one will be too powerful. No one will be too insignificant. But every one of us will have to stand before that great white throne. And therefore, how important it is that we know that we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. It's very easy to put these things off and to say, well, of course, you know, I don't really know, and you know, people don't seem to be concerned about it. They kind of think, well, it'll happen at last, but it may not happen at last. And all of us should be concerned to know that we do possess this robe of Christ's righteousness, a white robe, so that we then are numbered amongst this number which no man can number. And it is not satisfactory to just forget about these things. As I've said, we may be struck down. We may not have any opportunity to be able to speak. We may not have any opportunity to be able to pray. And let me tell you this. When we are really ill, we won't really be able to pray. We won't really be able to read. I was like that a year or so ago when I was in hospital. I wasn't really able to think very well and consecutively, and not very able to read positively. So you should never think, well, I don't have time to do that. You may not have time. You should never think, well, tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Today, the Word of God says, if we shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That means to turn away from God. But the vital and important thing for all of us is to know that we are indeed saved. And that's why we have this wonderful statement in this 10th verse, which tells us this vast, vast congregation which stood before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Salvation to our God. You may remember the case of Jonah. Jonah's a lovely little book. It's a lot of instruction in the little book of Jonah. And Jonah, of course, disobeyed God. Well, all of us have disobeyed God. Jonah ran away from God. By nature, we all run away from God. Jonah said he wasn't going to obey God. Well, by nature, we say we are not going to obey God. No, we're going to continue with our own life. And Jonah was successful in running away to start with. And you may be successful in running away to start with. And you know, that may not be physically, but it may be mentally, in your heart. You may run away from the things of God. You may not want to listen. Perhaps you come to chapel and you don't want to listen. What you're doing, you're running away. You're running away from the things of God. Well, Jonah thought he could escape, but God knew where Jonah was. And God knows where we are, precisely. And he knows what we're thinking. And we can't hide our thoughts from God. And Jonah, therefore, was so confident that he'd succeeded in running away from God, that he went asleep. And of course there was, as you remember, a great storm arose. And the boat was tossed about, but Jonah was fast asleep. It didn't worry him. You know, we can become very sleepy. We can be unconcerned about the things of God. And we can be content to just go to sleep. Sometimes we can just be content to go to sleep in chapel. When I was a boy, I was quite happy to go to sleep in chapel. And I thought it was a good thing to pass the time. Well, it didn't do me any good, and it won't do you any good to go to sleep in chapel. And to not think about the things which are being spoken. Because we should realise God has blessed us with a wonderful position to be found hearing the gospel. There are billions of people today who never hear the gospel. And you won't be able to stand before that great white throne and say, well, of course, I never knew, I was never told. You have been told and you have heard and you will have no excuse. Well, no one has any excuse anyway. But you know, those who have heard the gospel, I'm sure will be in a far worse condition, who turn their back upon the truth of God. And so may we cry mightily unto God that he may hear us. Well, that's what Jonah did eventually. He was thrown overboard and a whale swallowed him. And there he was in that whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. Complete darkness. All the weeds were round about his head. And you think, well, Jonah, surely you're going to cry to God immediately. No, he didn't. 3 days and 3 nights. Eventually, blessed be God, the Holy Spirit came to him and convinced him. And he said, I will look again unto thy holy hill. He will look again unto the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit of God brought him to that wonderful condition. So he was able to declare. He did declare it. He did record it. And the Church of God will also be able to say and declare it. And I don't have any time for people to say, oh, well, that person never said anything. But I think they were all right. No, they're not. The Word of God is very clear that the Lord gives us words to speak. And it's by our words that we are known. And Jonah came and said those glorious words, salvation is of the Lord. And he had received the blessing of that salvation. And it's a great favour when you and I know that we have received salvation. That means the saving of our souls. That means that we are saved through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us when he died upon that cross at Calvary. That all our many, many sins, and you won't come and think, well, you're not a very big sinner. You may have done one or two things wrong. You'll stand before God as a truly great sinner, needing a great salvation and pleading for that and crying for that. And what a mercy it is that when God comes and blesses us, that we're able to say with Jonah and with the Church of God that we have here, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation to the Lord. says the whole Church of God here, pictured in glory. Well, today, can we say, yes, by the grace of God, and it is the wonderful grace of God, that we have received salvation, that we have the evidence that our souls are eternally safe, that we can say humbly before God, yes, to those who may inquire, is it well? Yes, it is well. It is well with my soul because God has revealed it to me. Because God has shown me that he has redeemed me, that he's paid the price for my salvation. See, this is the great need that we all have. Without me, you can do nothing. We need the work of the Saviour in our hearts. We must have the work of God in our souls. We cannot get to glory without it. We cannot get to heaven without the evidence that we are born again of the Spirit of God. It is the wonderful favour that God grants to his people. Those who are taught by his Spirit, those who have come, it's a wonderful little picture we have at the end of the Song of Solomon, where the question is asked, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Well, the wilderness is the world of sin and sorrow. And it's a blessing, it's an eternal blessing, when the God enables us to come out leaning upon Christ. Nowhere else, no one else will ever save our souls. My friends, may your hope and my hope be on what Christ has done. And may we be found then amongst those leaning upon our beloved. You know, again to the Church of God then, Christ was her beloved. Christ wasn't just an historical figure. And Christ is not just an historical figure. My friends, Christ will mean something to us. Oh, let us not pass it by. Let us not be content with a religion that does not come and have the blessed evidence that Christ is our Saviour, that Christ is my salvation, that salvation is to me through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Well, says this word here, and cry with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And then we have the picture here, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God. And the picture there is bowing down to God. And my friends, the picture on this earth is the Church of God, the living Church of God, bow down to God. Have you bowed down to God? No one knows apart from you and God. My friends, how vital it is that we bow down to Almighty God. And what a blessing it is. And so here we have this wonderful statement. They fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God for ever and ever. That's the song of the redeemed. That's the song of the Church of God. That's the song of those who are born again by the Spirit of God, you and I will desire this blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Because if the Holy Spirit has come and touched our hearts, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes and touches our heart, you know what the effect is? I'll tell you what the effect is. By nature, you and I have a heart of stone. Unfeeling. Unfeeling. But when the Holy Spirit comes, that heart of stone is changed into a heart of flesh. And it's then a feeling heart. We are touched then by the work of the Holy Spirit. We're not then left unconcerned. And we can bless God for it. And what a wonderful favour it is. And how important it is. And let us not just journey on satisfying with just a form of religion. Just a mere form. There are many people today satisfied with just a mere outward profession without any real possession of the great and glorious gift of God who touches hearts and grants a heart of flesh. Because if it is so, then it won't just be, we might say, weasel words which emanate from the heart. It'll be reality. And you will acknowledge the greatness of God. And you will bow down before this great and merciful and compassionate God who's looked upon you. You're amazed at his love. You're amazed at his mercy. You stand there and say, surely, has this come to me? Unworthy sinner. Unworthy sinner. Reminds me of the a man who is now in glory. Stephen was his name, and I remember he told me after he was converted, he wasn't a young man when he was converted, and he was sat in the car park, and the Lord came and spoke to him very comforting words in accordance with the word of God, that his name was engraved on the palms of his hands. And his reaction was, what, me, Lord? He couldn't really believe it, but it was true. And that was a wonderful deliverance. He knew then he was engraved in the palms of the Lord's hands, and therefore he wasn't cast out. He was indeed redeemed. And therefore he was able to say, blessing and honour and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And then we read, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? It's a fair question. And he said unto me, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation. And that is true. All of God's people come out of great tribulation as they pass through time, as they pass through this wilderness, as they pass through this world. We are on a journey, and bless God that we're passing through it. And so we will, if we are those who are chosen of God, we shall be amongst those who have come out of great tribulation. But there's more than that. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That means they have been looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. That means they have the wonderful evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ died to take away their sins. You see, it's so clear, isn't it? And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But oh, to have the evidence that all our sins, which are the cause of needing to be washed, are forever washed away. They're taken away because we are redeemed in the precious blood of Christ. And so here we have, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Every born again sinner, every redeemed sinner, every child of God is washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, my friends, what an amazing, what a glorious truth, what a soul strengthening truth, what an encouraging truth, what a truth to rejoice in. Oh, I hope we do today. How easy it is to settle down, satisfied with just a mere hope so religion. But you see, those who are blessed with this have a good hope. It's not a false hope, it's a good hope. And it's founded upon the promises of God. And it's founded upon the revelation of God. And it's founded upon that which God has done for our souls. It's founded upon his work in our hearts and the evidence of it. Oh today, my friends, may we have the evidence that God has indeed loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness has drawn us to him. See, naturally there's nothing that would draw you and me to Christ. Nothing. It's his love toward us, totally unworthy. Great love. Great love. Greater love hath this, than the Lord Jesus laid down his life to redeem our souls. And when we think of that, and when we ponder it and think, this great God, the almighty ruler of the universe, has come and died for me. Yes, my friends, it's personal. It is. It must be. Because you and I need to stand upon that ground, to stand upon that rock, and be able to say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Well, the evidence is that the church of God on this earth hunger for spiritual food, and spiritual food is to be found in Christ. Union with Christ. Spiritual blessings, spiritual food. That's what the Apostle Paul desired and wanted, didn't he? He was a good Christian man. He knew Christ. He was blessed with revelation. He needed more. He wanted more. He didn't want to stagnate. He didn't want to sit still. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, my friends, and union with Christ, you see, this is the evidence of life within. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne, or the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God that taketh away your sin. The Lamb of God that taketh away my sin. Oh, what a unity there is in being amongst the redeemed, because we are all partakers of this wonderful favour of being bought with the precious blood of Christ. We all have something to speak about. We all have something to talk about, do we not? What a wonderful favour and what a wonderful blessing it is to be united like that. It's a wonderful and a great blessing indeed. It's a wonderful favour to realise this and to praise God for it. And my wife and I read together this morning 105th Psalm, and it starts like this: Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. That's quite clear, isn't it? It's not just sit in your little ivory palace and not say anything. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvellous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Well, those are wonderful words, aren't they? And it commences the 105th Psalm. It's worthwhile thinking about, and it's worthwhile reading. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Well, we have here then set before us just a little glimpse, as it were, into glory. A little glimpse of the wonderful condition, state of the people of God. And remember there, no sin, peace, perfect peace, unity, nothing to disrupt that peace. What a mercy it is, and how glorious it is. And so we can surely then, if we understand something of this, to appreciate these words, what they said, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So this morning, oh, how needful it is, how necessary it is, that all of us are able to come and say, Salvation to our God. He it is. Oh, praise him for it. He it is that has redeemed my soul. We've all got a soul. We've all got a soul. From the youngest, from little Poppy, to the eldest one here, we've all got a soul which needs to be redeemed and needs to enter in to the blessing of salvation. And so may it be the blessed lot of every one of us to be able to testify of what God has done. And if as yet we can't testify, to plead mightily unto God that he will reveal himself unto us as it is not unto the world, that he will indeed wash us, indeed give us the evidence that we are washed, in his precious blood, that he will show to us the value of that precious blood and the need it is to be found under the blood, just like Old Testament times. So it is today, and may we know it, and may we rejoice in it, and may we praise God for it, and bring honour and glory to his great and holy name, and be able to say, in accordance with that which we read this morning, worthy is the Lamb.